Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you so much, Dave. We got a little bit of a late start. Everybody in the chat room, if you can hear me, just raise your hand. Will you do that? This is something else. Let me try to call the guest of the hour now, shall I? You just let me know if you can hear me. And Griselda, I'm counting on you or Pete to let me know. Here we go. Long story, and I'll tell you about it afterwards. How about that? Thank you, Mandolin. Thank you, Amy. Oh, my gracious. And we're going to dial. Thank you so much for joining me on Hybrid Jazz. It's been a week and a half for sure. Woo! Hello? All right, let me see here. We are dialing now. Can you hear us? Please let me know.
Hello.
Hello, is this the man of the hour?
Well, I don't know about the hour, but it is the man.
Well, now that I have you, Gino, let me do the introduction.
Okay.
We had a particular situation happen with Blog Talk Radio, and I'm not sure what the deal is, but we are just going to be on a roller coaster ride right now. You deserve to get every bit of what I'm going to say, and I'm not going to make it long and painful, but just let me tell you what you mean to so many. In the past several days, I have received literally hundreds of messages, texts, people calling my house, people calling my cell phone. I have never had this kind of response for any individual that I've ever interviewed, and I've been doing this since 1976. So, when I tell you, folks who are listening, singer, songwriter, musician, author, poet, an icon, and by the definition, an icon is an enduring and important symbol representing a certain idea or a collection of ideas, or one who is the object of great attention and devotion, an idol. I've never met it more. This is Gino Vannelli. Gino.
Should I go have breakfast now?
You can go right ahead. Holy cow. I am so tickled that you understood about Tuesday, because some things are out of our hands, as you well know.
Yeah, I know. Of course.
Yes. Thank you for taking the time, and I guess I should ask you, because all civil people do, how are you today?
I'm well. I'm looking forward to going to the East Coast Saturday to do a concert at Berkeley. And
yes.
We're going to be doing some national television, lo and behold, after all this time.
Really?
Yeah, we're doing the Today Show, I think, on next Tuesday.
Oh, Gino, I'm so tickled to hear that, because people need
well,
to...
Well, you tell me after the show.
No, you're going to be fine. People need to have a refresher course on you, because there's so many different kinds of journeys that Gino Vannelli has had. And this is what blows my mind when I've had the folks who are asking me about the show. I'm telling you, at least a dozen have had tears in their eyes or tears in their voice to ask about you. That's how much you mean. Do you realize how much you mean to people?
Well, you know, I feel like a runner. You know, most runners, you know, that I've spoken to who run marathons, the moment they try to look back or look to the side as to see, you know, who's catching up with who's running alongside of them, they really misstep in a sense. So, you know, I just sort of look at what I want to do and what I want to accomplish, and it's very simple. I feel like an hourglass, And until the sand is empty on one side and full on the other, I'm not done.
Well, immediately I'm thinking of one of the songs from early on, Wheels of Life. You are just so full of music, and were at a very early age. You, above most people that I've ever spoken to in the music business, you felt this absolute conviction that you were destined to do music. And I know that you had musical parents, and I know that there was this glorious household that was full of music. God bless your mother with her love for drummers. Oh, I just love to hear that. You didn't really want to entertain the notion of anything else in your life, did you? This was it.
I did entertain a few other notions, you know, and I didn't understand myself. Just, you know, when you're 8 or 9 or 10, you're operating on total instinct, of course. You know, you don't have, your frontal lobes are not firing on all pistons yet. And so, you know, at the beginning, I had a love for the military, especially the Navy. I wanted to be on a ship, and I wanted to be able to see the world and travel the seven seas. And then I also, I love the idea of teaching, so I thought, I'd probably want to teach. And then, of course, I saw Gene Krupa one night while I was watching TV, and I said, you know what, that's for me. And within a year, I got to meet him. So in a sense, you know, all those missions, you know, have been accomplished because my life is very militaristic in a sense that I need to be very, very disciplined. And at the minute I shirk my duties towards my physical and mental self, I can't be ready as I want to be ready. I've got long flights ahead of me. I have arduous rehearsals, long hours of arranging, recording, writing lyrics. So I really need to keep really straight and narrow and focused. At the same time, very fast and loose, or else the ideas don't come.
Yes.
And then as far as the teaching part, I'm always entertaining the thought of master classes, and now a few community colleges around in Oregon have asked me to be, you know, the head of their music departments and all that. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure. I'm still too busy. And then, of course, the last being music. Music is the sound, you know, and the sound can or cannot or does not have to be with words, and it does something to our bodies, our psyches. I guess you can go say right down to our souls. And I believe, you know, when all the holy writ and holy books talk about, you know, first was the word, it really is vibrational sounds. And people understand and they feel them even without really being able to analyze them. So the devotion to sound and what it does to us is there and will always be there. So in some ways, all those things have been incorporated in my life.
I really get a full picture now, and I guess, and according to what you just said about vibrational sounds, you are this artist who has been able, from what I have been able to see, otherwise you wouldn't have been able to write the way that you have. One of the songs I love most from you is People I Belong To. That means so much. Because you grasped at an early age the balance of life. You recognized what is the meaning of your gratitude. And that particular line, my brother gave up all his dreams to take on mine. You have an appreciation for other people, which makes you the artist that people love so much, because you have a particular kind of love, whether it's expressed in poetry, whether it's expressed in stories, whether it's expressed in music, that is a rare kind of giving back to the universe. I can't tell you how much that means.
It comes from the fact that my experience has led me to know that I couldn't do what I do without the reciprocal effect, you know, either an audience or members around me or a band, or it needs to be there. And there's this balance between determination, fortitude, you know, almost blind ambition, and yet a real softness of heart to understand, you know, what's happening below all that. Sometimes people will catch me in a certain place where I will seem very, very straight, narrow, and focused, and almost unfeeling and cold. I've understood at a very early age that when you really plan to do something, well, there's a real difference between people have it in their mind to record, to perform, or to make something of themselves, and those who actually really do it. And to actually really do it, sometimes you're not the exact person you think that you want to be at that moment in time. It takes a certain kind of almost thick skin and kind of character that people will not expect from you. And many times I found myself in that position of having to be that way, or else the thing just would not get done. Because if you were to feel and act out your feelings every minute of the day, you just kind of be in some corner just wondering who you are, because we all wonder who we are. But sometimes it just takes looking at what you're going to do, take a rope, lasso it, and yank yourself to it.
I just read something that harkened back to an interview that I had with the great young drummer Kendrick Scott, and he is a deeply spiritual man, and he said that one must allow themselves to surrender at times in your life when you have to express the deepest. You have done that time and time again, but Gino, I understand with you through the years that you've really had to develop that thick skin, because I do think that in a large way, the passion and the truth of who you are, do you feel as though you get misunderstood frequently?
I don't really pay much mind to being understood or misunderstood that much anymore. I think that it is more of a function of a younger ego, because you're concerned with things that just later years you're not that concerned with. I mean, there is some of it, but not a great part. I, right now, what I'm more concerned with is that I can see how much time I have left to do what I really want to do, and that's basically it. You know, I mean, I have 2-3 records left in me, and I got a bunch of new classical songs and a bunch of new style Americana jazz songs that I just finished. I've got a libretto. I've got a book that I'm working on, and it's just and there's so many other concerts that I love to sing and do concerts, but it's so time-consuming. So I just kind of fight for time management at this point, wanting to get done what I want to get done. And sometimes, you know, inspiration is not always there. So you chip away at it, but, you know, you wait for that magic moment. Some songs are 90% done, but I know I'm missing a couple of key ingredients, so I just put it on the back burner. But the days are just filled with not worrying too much about what other people think anymore, and not worrying about the media and all that stuff, because it's really up for grabs at this point. I mean, there really is no one's got the last word anymore. It seemed like if you were on the front cover of Rolling Stone in 1974, you had it made. It no longer, all those things no longer hold true. It's sort of the Wild West again, in a sense.
You are absolutely right. Yeah.
Perfectly comfortable with that, because I think artists should be concentrating more on themselves and not trying to placate.
Oh, I completely agree. We could be here for days discussing that, and that's been a subject for conversation time and time again on this show. Well, you know, as for you and what you are calling inspiration, Gino, in going to your page on Facebook and in reading The Falconer and a Woman Weeping in the Distance, I don't know how you can contain your inspiration. There seems to be an endless well in you, not only, and if some folks who are listening today don't realize this, the multiple genre existence and this journey that you've been able to have to delve into a particular project, one of my favorites in the world, by the way, Canto. I love that album so much, and I had a chance to play tracks for my mom before she passed away at the age of 98. And let me tell you, when you are able to play these particular pieces for a person who is of an advanced age, and you see life fly by in their eyes, it's a miracle. Do you feel as though you are one of the more blessed individuals on earth? Seriously.
Well, you know, there was a period of time, Tricia, that I stopped touring in 1979. I recorded Nightwalker and had some success with Living Inside Myself, and then decided to go back to experimentation with music, and ran into problems with creative control and stuff like that.
Yes.
And it was the first time in my life that I really couldn't get to the next step. So the frustration was so that it became very dark for me for a while. And so I decided to go back to revisit the spirituality of my youth, which I had left abandoned in a huff around 12 or 13 years old, which was Roman Catholicism. And when I went back, revisited it in 1981, 82, I noticed how little it meant to me or how I was struggling to get a feeling from it. Then I decided right then and there to say, okay, you know, I'm going to really try to understand the truth of why I believed what I believed and why it means so little to me now. And so it was a very historical, academic, theological study. I went back to beginnings of mystic Christianity, how it started, who the Gnostics were, so on and so forth, who Pope Valentinus was. And then it bled over into Buddhism, and then it bled over into Taoism and Jainism and Islam, and you name it. I studied it, and for 6 years. I studied that, including going back to college. And I had gone far enough with the academia, then I wanted to do, I wanted to have experiential or empirical knowledge of the practices. What good was it to study about Samadhi or Sartori unless you knew what it felt like?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the more dangerous part. So I got involved with doing, you know, extrasensory deprivation tanks. I did some dangerous stuff. I ended up in monasteries. I ended up in mountains of Peru. I ended up in a lot of very interesting places. And so my sojourns led me to a place where I had experienced where very few people, what very few people do experience and live to tell. And someday I'll be at liberty to say what they are. Not quite now, because they would be mistaken for exploitation.
Mm.
And because they are inside of me, I have seen the well. I know how deep the well goes. It's infinite. And so I'm so pale compared to that well that all I could do is maybe send a bucket down, you know, once in a while, and once in a while I might get a gem from the well. So that feeling of both participation and connection and yet insignificance and yet knowing the well is so deep, it always leads me back to the well and makes me say, well, what else have you got? What else is there, you know, to see that I may even know a little bit more of what I'm connected to? And it's very simple, you know, when I ask those questions, I'm always led back to the well, and suddenly I see things that I wouldn't normally see. When I wrote Woman Weeping in the Distance, all I was doing is sitting on the broken grass and looking at looking at the vermilion and the digitalis and look at them sway in the breeze, and I thought about, you know, Clara screaming in the night, and I said, this is so beautiful. Why do I still hear her voice? And I realized that imprints, you know, our childhood will remain with us, you know, forever. And you accept them, and you say, you might as well speak about them and try to diffuse their emotional punch. So, I mean, in short, I'm saying to you that there is so much beneath us that what I do in going back to that well is so little compared to what there is.
And, Gino, I'm going to tell you that, and you know this to be true as well, for the consummate artist that you have been and the thirst for the knowledge that's in the universe, combined with the fact that you have sold more than 10 million records worldwide, there's a lot of people who might be in your position who have sold maybe half as many songs. I know in the scheme of things, because it's a life and death world and it's 9/11 today and we're contemplating all of this, the selling of the records to some may not mean anything, but you chose to go on this journey. You wanted to go to the well. And because you were determined to find out why you were chosen, in a sense, to be who you are in this world, that means everything. Everything.
Well, I'm not sure what the question is through it, but it is
it's
a day
not.
Of It is a day
it's
of we do think about the possible atrocities and the possible... But one thing that is perhaps a little cold comfort, but it's nonetheless comfort. When you become a student of history, you realize that there was never a time the world wasn't going through some cataclysm or through some event or through some dark. I mean, if you read Bread and Circuses from Cicero, and it was written in 50 A.D. in Rome, it's almost a mirror of what's going on in the world, especially the West, you know, today, how people are distracted by Bread and Circuses, which is, you know, some dumb TV show and some entitlement feeling, you know, that the world owes me. So what I'm saying is that the common truths keep redoing their images and redoing their hairdos and redoing their eyes and redoing their faces and shapes and fashions. But the core of it is always the same. It's always those that realize who they are and what they belong to and those that don't. It's simple.
Yes. Yes. That's beautifully put. I wish that people wanted to have the wisdom, because it's right in front of them. I can't think of a time when we needed to need one another more than now, because after 9/11, it just seems as though people began to grow cold and bitter and angry, and now is the change in the world. There are things happening in the world. I don't know if you feel it. I do. I don't know if I'm an intuitive or what. I don't know if because I have my particular son who's 22 and is high-functioning autistic, he has made me see the world through his eyes. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that there are changes that are occurring right now to lead us back to one another, and we can choose to do that or not.
It will always be so. There was one Kabbalah, is an ancient Jewish study, and it's quite quantum in many ways. And one of the ministers of the Kabbalah lived in Los Angeles at the time, had acquired cancer, and he told me, I'll take you under my wing and I will teach you everything I know and give you a crash course for a year before I die. And I won't tell you his full name, but his first name was Gary, and I met with him at least two or three times a week, and we go over all the stuff he had learned in his 26 years. And one of the things that stuck with me is he said to me, you know, remember something. He said, God will never leave himself without a witness, because without a witness there is no God. I always thought about that, and that the universe will always keep creating. There'll always be life, and that's God's first job. We can always talk about justice. We can always talk about us getting along. We can always talk about peace on earth and all this. We could always pray to the universe for whatever it is we want. But remember one thing, and get this through our thick heads, is that the first and foremost job of the universe, or God, if you will, is to keep creating life. Because without life, all this is all for naught. We can talk about peace that will be blue in the face, but if no one exists, there is absolute peace.
Yeah.
So the idea is that there'll always be life created, and there'll always be varying opinions, and there'll always be the light side and the dark side for people to choose. Because if there isn't choice, there isn't free will. And if there isn't free will, there's no realization of what life really is and who our maker and what our maker is. So in order for us to have the realization, or a God realization, if you will, we need to be presented with all these choices. And most of us will make the wrong choices, at least in the beginning. And then eventually, if you believe in life after life after life, or plane after plane of existence, or whatever it is you believe, my belief is that eventually we'll get it. In the interim, there's going to be moments of peace and moments of war, moments of light, moments of darkness. So as long as you know that it is a personal journey, that you can commune with those around you, your fellow human beings, and part of your personal journey is to commune with your fellow human beings. But in the end, it is a personal journey. It is your own choice. It is what you, the soul's journey, is a private journey. It's a secret journey. You can involve others. You can be part of a church or a group or a community, whatever it is. And you could all be, you know, like minds tend to gravitate towards each other. But in the end, you go to bed at night, you think those thoughts, it's your thoughts. Those are the thoughts you choose. And how you sleep at night is either your boon or your problem. So I learned that, you know, very, very early on. And so in knowing that, you know, I get real comfort into knowing that it's an ongoing thing that will never end. And just accept it, that it is part of how life is created and how the revolving door keeps on happening. Do you know there are millions and millions of people a day that are born and die? I think they tabulated it's at least like 20 people or 30 people every second that are being born and dying.
Amazing.
That's like a revolving door spinning faster than your mind could possibly comprehend.
Yes.
So it's just life really knows how to do it. And all we need to do is say, oh, well, if life knows how to do it, who am I to judge it? I'm just going to go with it and try to understand how to operate within its confines.
Chino, you must be, after these statements that you have made and the beliefs that you hold so deeply, it must be an ongoing differentiation from one place to another. You're going to be in Berkeley and Boston very soon. It just must feel like when you are standing in front of so many people, it's always going to be different. You really do feel as though the moment on that stage is everything. Your mind doesn't even think about after the show. You are fully present on that stage, aren't you?
Yeah, I try not even to think about the things we're talking about because they're within all of us. If you concentrate on them, you know, you'll be distracted. So, you know, because we're still creatures of habit and you know, we have limited brain capacity, when I'm on stage, you know, before I get on stage, I make sure my voice is in shape. I've practiced. I've done this. I've done this. I've done my calisthenics. I've done my aerobics so that I'm not too winded on stage and all that kind of stuff. So you focus on the little things you need to do. Because when I do get on stage, it becomes the sound and the band and my voice and the audience. And that's all it is. And all the rest is going to be there no matter what I do, no matter what I say. So I'm not going to sit there and talk about these things to the audience because it's not the time or place. The time and the place, that time and place, is to sing and to perform. And everything I feel will be coming out at that point. And trust in that. But this is what I was referring to in the beginning, is that if I confuse what I know with what I got to do, then I'm really in trouble. Because I do know a lot, but what I do know is that I really need to focus on those little things that I need to do when I'm called to do them, or else it will not be, plainly speaking, a successful night. And my total dedication is to make that hour and a half on stage totally happening. So when I get together with the band, whether it be rehearsals or right before the concert, I try to put myself and everybody in the right mood. So, okay, any questions? What about this song? Pick up the tempo on this, or a little harder on that, or just let them know that I'm listening and that I'm striving for a little bit more perfection. And that keeps everybody a little bit on their toes. And lo and behold, we all have a better night, and the audience finds more enjoyment, because in the end, what we're doing is, yes, it's a little bit about enlightenment, stuff like that, and feeling, this thing in your heart. But it really is, first and foremost, about being entertained thoroughly so that you can drop your guard and feel good.
I've never heard anyone express the kind, and what you are basically saying with all of what you've said is that your love of humankind is such that when you're on that stage, it's all about those who have come. You are, and you expressed this earlier, in your younger days it might have been different, but as time goes on, one loses the ego, especially with the journey that you've had, so that everything gets poured into who comes to that concert. You are a revelation. I did not know that this was the Gino Vannelli that I was going to be speaking to, and I'm not going to keep you. I know that your home life is so wonderful, and I thank God for the balance that you have with allowing yourself to fully realize that where you live means everything in order for you to walk that fine line, doesn't it? It really does.
Well, nature teaches us a lot, and I haven't come across, a bird's nest yet, whether it be a sparrow or a robin or, a starling. If I get anywhere close to that nest, and there are eggs or, chicks, fledglings, in that nest, that mama bird's going to let me know, that I'm just too close.
Right.
So I've gotten to really understand that, those are the laws of nature, and to have a place, whatever that castle is, it could be, a condo in the Bronx, or it could be, whatever, acreage in Banff, that little place, it's your shelter. It's your little place to go back to. It's to find comfort. It is your nest where some kind of fledglings or some kind of offspring you've given birth to, whether it be creatures, fish, goldfish, children, I don't know, your art, you've given birth to, and it's your place to go to. And I realize that, on this earth, we need that. And I never realized that before in my youth. I was really a wanderer, and I was an itinerant, person. And I didn't care where my home was. I was living in hotels. I was living, you name it, just renting places here and hither and thither, until finally, after my theological studies and all, I realized that some of the simple things, they're there for a reason. Some of that chicken soup, mentality, that logic, chicken soup logic, I'll call it, is so pertinent that people need to have a place to go to. They need to have their own bed, their own room, their own shelter, their own four walls where they call home, so they can think and they can rest and they can collect their thoughts. And I'm very, very fortunate that I have that.
You really do. And because you do, you are able to convey an oasis to us, which you've done time and time again. And gosh, speaking for so many, there's so many people in the chat room, they're tripping over one another. This is the way it is. And I'm talking about seasoned musicians who have done this for a long time, from New York, from California, from Texas, from actually Europe, all gathering in the chat room to hear you. And
I'm flattered, and all I'm telling you is what I got inside. You know, I'm not searching for anything.
Well, what you have inside of you is something that is going to be immortal. Your songs are going to live on way beyond when we are all gone. That, to contemplate that, Gino, is just one of those radical thoughts in my old hippie days, because you and I are about the same age. Life is just beginning in some ways, but for those of us who have the memory of our teen years and in our 20s, to contemplate the songs that you have done, knowing they have a life of their own now, this is your sublime legacy.
You know, when I contemplated leaving the music business and making theological studies permanent for me, this was like 89 or 90, that last Kabbalah teacher told me that I was an idiot for thinking that, and he told me this way. He said it to me this way, and he had 3 weeks left to live.
Oh.
He said, think about this. He says, how do you want to punctuate your life after you're gone? He said, do you want an exclamation point? Do you want a question mark? Do you want a period? Or no punctuation at all?
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm speaking to a man who's got a series of exclamation points. And hopefully, if folks go to, and I'm going to tell you where you can go to learn more, GinoV.com is the place to go. There are so many dates ahead: Georgia, New York, New Orleans, Nevada, Chile, Connecticut, Chicago, California. Somewhere you'll be able to see Gino Vannelli and get fed for your soul for the next time something like this happens, which I'm not sure is gonna. Gino, thank you for your time.
I'm going to ask your opinion before you go, Tricia.
Yes.
I was contemplating posting all the translations of Canto. Would you think it'd be something of interest to people?
I absolutely do. I do.
Then I shall.
Say again?
Then I shall, because it started off with English prose verse, and then someone translated into Italian as best they could without having to do it, you know, literally. And I wonder if folks who, there's a real cult, you know, for the Canto album, I wonder if they have that information about the translations, especially on this September 11th day, De Esperanza, which was written for me the day after 2001.
Gino, it would mean more than you could imagine. If you get an invitation from the Vatican, which you did, to come and perform for Pope John Paul, that goes so deeply that it can't be articulated. For you to have moved the Vatican to have that invitation extended to you, you can imagine now, 13 years after 9/11, the kind of healing that you could do that will then, in turn, be able to fixate you on the next chapter of your journey. It's really important that you do it.
Then
please
I shall.
Do.
I'll take your advice. I'll do it.
Thank you.
Great talking with you, Tricia.
Great talking to you, too. Blessings always to you, and I'll see you down the road.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Gino Vannelli right there, and of course you know we're going to dive headfirst into Live in L.A. Of course you know that. And there won't be just one song. Oh, no. There will be a few. So I think, because of the tone of conversation that you've just heard, it behooves us to play Living Inside Myself on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
In my life, I felt so self-assured, but suddenly it's all changed. Ah, she's a cloud that hangs above my world, and I find myself wandering in the rain.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz. one of those songs that spoke to me when I first heard the amazing bass of Shawn Michael Ray from his Overdue CD that was out last year. And Shawn Michael might have another song played this during the course of this show, because he clearly states on his Overdue CD that his favorite artist in the world is Gino Vannelli. So I had to make sure that Sean gets some props during the show, especially with a song like that. Oh, my God. That was Jill Rock Jones singing. She co-wrote the song along with a wonderful individual, Hart Ramsey, who was part of the co-production team with Sean. And, man, just one of those poppin' rock-influenced songs that seemed to be appropriate when we had to follow Gino Vannelli. So you heard a little bit of everything in that three-song set, all right? You heard Gino Vannelli, Living Inside Myself, and then John Coltrane, Acknowledgement from 1965's A Love Supreme album. Had to play John Coltrane. We'll play John Coltrane even more because this is his birth month. He was born on the 23rd of September, 1926. So that officially makes him a Libra. We're all about doing the homage to the Librans in the next several days or so. Got to play a tune here because we have our next guest coming up. Sister Child does not have time to breathe, and I like it that way. Paolo Rusticelli is coming up in mere moments, calling from Italy. Yes. You need to hear this pioneer. Having played with Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, Carlos Santana, we're going to play the latest single from Paolo. Paolo. Let's see how he pronounces it, because I could go either way. To me, today is all about this sexy legal team. Vannelli, Rusticelli. We're serving cannoli and espresso in the chat room. Here we go with Playa Blanca on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz. We just heard two songs from Paolo Rustichilli. Beautiful stuff. The latest was the first that you heard, Playa Blanca. And then this one, woohoo! Get On, the name of the song from Mystic Men, 1996, with Miles Davis and Carlos Santana. Now, Paolo is not with us at this moment, and, you know, I'm decompressing, as mostly everybody I know who was listening live is. So if he calls from Italy, I know it's a different time zone. I think it is 7 p.m. Italian time, if memory serves me. I looked earlier. So that's cool, no matter what the circumstances. Just so you know about this gentleman, something else. Woo! A film score composer, a multiple genre pianist, producer, and singer. How can I describe this? A pioneer as far as synthesizers are concerned. I don't know a whole lot about synthesizers, but at the age of 16, he was a soundtrack composer then and a rock keyboardist. He delved into Monosynth, the ARP 2600, and the Mellotron. He was one of those first in the world to delve into chill music. He has a myriad of Italian films that has his music on their soundtracks. He composed a song called Full Moon for Carlos Santana, and now it's part of a collection of Santana's greatest performances. And Paulo, he did a song that Placido Domingo recorded on his Kyrie, actually Kyrie is the name of the song, Sacred Songs, in 2006. You get the picture. Classical, jazz, the contemporary kind, rock. He was a fusionaire before we actually knew how to describe that. So it bears some mentioning that this is an artist of some note. And if he decides to call, that's wonderful. We just did the confirmation the other day with Tom. Tom, who got this together with Gino on Tuesday. Joy Hall was the one who tried to get in touch with him to let him know about the circumstances of Tuesday's severe challenge with Verizon. So thank you to Joy. Thank you to Katrina Shaw for making sure that their friend was not lost in the lurch. And then today, let me tell you why we got on to Blog Talk Radio late. There was a new button that said direct contact on my home studio screen. So me being the smart aleck that I am, decides to push that button. Well, everything was boom, instantaneous as far as the lights, the bells, and the whistles going on. But what I neglected to determine ahead of time was if I pushed that button, I would have not access to my landline, which I needed to call Gino Vannelli. So thank you, Amy and Mandolin, for saving my rear. I know that y'all are mad at me because I've said a few things about Blog Talk Radio and to Blog Talk Radio, but thank you for bailing me out. That's wonderful. We'll move on. Shall we do that? Let's do something that is pertinent, appropriate. We love to play these female musicians. God knows we do. I love Iris Ornig from Germany, now based in New York. This is called, because we are experiencing the changing of the seasons, Autumn Kiss on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz.
Get the sweetest songs of you and me. Memories of love above the city lights. It took so long to make it, but oh no, my heart just won't take it.
You know, Gino Vannelli.
Here's
listen to that applause.
Have redone.
He would be extraordinary even if he was to just sing the songs that have made him immortal. But after hearing him on the show earlier, to know that his mind has allowed himself to go into spiritual recesses and lanes and highways that a lot of folks don't even contemplate in their lifetime. Woo! I'm telling you what, Gino Vannelli from Live in L.A., that was recorded late last year, and it was released as a DVD and CD with some really cool information about Gino and some glimpses as to his family. Joe Vannelli, you've heard us discuss him because when Jimmy Haslip was here with us on Hybrid Jazz, there has been a long, since the 70s actually, association and friendship with Joe Vannelli. And then Ross Vannelli works hand-in-hand with Gino so that Ross can manage the day-to-day and get the appointments done. Ross was the one who graciously consented for us to do this interview today. I did not even ask, and Russ said, look, I know how things go. We know you had a situation on Tuesday. He said, let's see if we can try to do this on Thursday. Just like that. Oh, amazing. Couple of things that you might not know about Gino. Dad was a cabaret singer. Mom had an ear for jazz, especially the drummers. Krupa, Buddy Rich, Elvin Jones, it goes on. So Gino decides to be a drummer at his tender age, and he studies music theory. Well, he auditioned very young for a group in Montreal called the Cobras, and the audition called for the song to be played on drums, Wipeout, by the Safaris. So Gino waited until everybody else had taken their turn, studying different kinds of methodology. He was the last. He got the job. A year later, he and brother Joe, who plays keyboards, were part of a Motown-influenced group called the Jacksonville Five. Now, this was before the Jackson Five started their career. And we'll pick up where we leave off when we play another song, because he's so fascinating. He really is. How he got signed to A&M Records, are you familiar with that? Wait till you hear. It's a charge. We heard Chiele Minucci. Yeah, I had to play Chiele Minucci and Gino Vannelli back to back. Woo! So It Begins, the name of the song from Genesis from last year. Chiele and Special Effects, of course. Chiele is going to be at the Long Beach, New York Jazz Festival on the 20th of September. And then if you would say a prayer for him, he's going to go with Gerald Albright and Norman Brown to Uganda. A lot of unrest in different parts of the world, including the United States, but Uganda makes me a little fearful because of all the upheaval they've had there. So send your good vibes and good wishes. Chiele, I know he doesn't care, but he's just so magnificent on that guitar. And, you know, some things are in our control, some things are not in our control. That's all I'm going to say. IrisOrnig.com if you want to learn more information. No Restrictions, the name of the CD with Kurt Rosenwinkel, speaking of great guitars, trumpet Mike Rodriguez, Marcus Gilmore on drums, and Helen Sung on piano. Iris, bassist, arranger, composer. Whew! Just mind-boggling what this German-born beast is able to do on that bass. She's pretty amazing. Kurt, this is interesting. I wrote this down here, and I'm trying to figure out the writing. Kurt Rosenwinkel was born in Philadelphia, and now he's living in Germany, which I found pretty fascinating. Because we played John Coltrane earlier, and John Coltrane was a Navy seaman first class, and he went everywhere, born in North Carolina and then came to Philadelphia. So Philadelphia is a connection with most of the musicians I'm knowing these days, and that is no joke. I'm finding out that folks have that particular stop in the road at some point in their career, which is cool. I love that. What are we going to do now? Well, since Paulo is not here, we're going to change direction just a little bit and do something by Art Blakey, since we want to go back and then we want to mosey into the 70s and the 80s, the 90s, and some 2000s. We always try to do that on Hybrid Jazz, in case you haven't noticed. We want to make sure that we delve into what was happening or what was popular in each of the decades that we possibly can. God knows this was. This is going back now to the 50s. Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. Messengers, Come Rain or Come Shine, from Monin on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. Woo, so good. Thank you.
Thank you.
it gives me great pleasure to play that song for you. I love this woman. And thank you, Rick Scott in Los Angeles. Not the Rick Scott in Florida, by the way. The Rick Scott in Los Angeles, who is an amazing liaison for these artists who are so noteworthy. Kiki Ebsen in particular, she is grabbing me by the throat. I'm telling you what, listen to this story. Kiki is the daughter of Buddy Ebsen, the great vaudevillian, Beverly Hillbillies, Barnaby Jones, astounding film and TV actor who was beloved of so many, including my mother and father. All the hours we spent watching Buddy Ebsen, can't even say. Kiki, being the daughter of Buddy Ebsen and being involved so much in show business, she decided to make her own way. He had told her for years that she needed to learn how to sing jazz standards. And she was rebellious and said, no, I don't want to do that. She was a solo artist, and she accompanied A-list pop stars on the keys. So finally, she had an epiphany. I am so glad she did. This album is coming out on the 30th of September on the Painted Pony Media label. It's called Scarecrow Sessions. Here's why it's called that. When Buddy Ebsen was involved in his film career, he was cast as the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. He and Ray Bolger decided to make a switch. Buddy Ebsen said, okay, I'll be the Tin Man. The PR of everyone involved in The Wizard of Oz said that Buddy was allergic to the makeup that they put on him. Here's what the truth is, and he never spoke about this. Kiki found out later. Buddy had the stuff that was used as the makeup, and it was illegal. They should have never, ever had it. The compounds that they used in those times, of course, we're not talking about unions now. We're talking about powdered aluminum for a real metallic look. Well, this dust got in his lungs, and the oxygen couldn't get to his blood. He spent the next many days in an oxygen tank, and I am supposing that this man was close to death. So in order for the studio to make good on the PR, they said, oh, he was allergic to the makeup. Woo! So anyway, between that story that Kiki heard and the fact that she loved her dad, even though they were separated for a while, she decided to pursue this jazz course, this journey in jazz. And man, when you hear these songs, she did, of course, If I Only Had a Brain. There are songs that Kiki Ebsen does, like You Don't Know What Love Is, and Moon River, and Laura, and St. Louis Blues. You will think that you've heard them for the first time. This is no joke. And on the album with her, in case you were wondering, oh, wow, pretty astounding artistry there, you bet, because John Patitucci is on bass, Chuck Loeb is on guitar, David Mann is on saxophone. I could go on, and I will, because Kiki Ebsen will be here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy in the early part of October. All of October, hand-picked artists, because it's my birthday month. So there. Tim Green is going to be here on the 14th, 2 days before my birthday. That's a present. Kiki Ebsen, oh, just love that so much. We also heard Jimmy Haslip on bass and Joe Vanelli on keyboard from 2011's Nightfall CD. Their collaboration goes back to the 70s. Whoa, Nightfall was only the third release from Jimmy because he was too busy with the Yellow Jackets for years. Gino's brother, Joe, considered a secret weapon in most endeavors that he does. He's just amazing. He's also with Jimmy on Red Heat, the CD. And we heard Art Blakey from 1958 with Jimmy Merritt on bass and pianist Bobby Timmons, who wrote the song Moanin', and that's the name of the album. Lee Morgan is on trumpet, Benny Golson on sax, and of course Art Blakey on drums. Oh, there's so many stories about Art Blakey. Stanley Clark could tell you a few, but this is halfway a family show. Anyway, this was the first album for Blue Note in several years, and it meant a lot for folks who were fans of Art and Company to hear this. This was quite the stellar lineup. Jazz Messengers and their glory days on Hybrid Jazz. Let us go on. We're having fun. Thank you for being there, chat room folks. Matt was here for a while. Miche Fambro was here for a while. Pete Gitlin. Beej is here from Southern California. Susie's here from Georgia. Griselda is here from Texas. And Yolanda is here from California. So glad. So glad. We had folks back and forth, and Christian Dimasonis was here, too, listening to Gino Vannelli earlier in the show. Man, we're still recovering. Listen, if you haven't heard that interview, you got to listen in the archives. Things will be done now at in about an hour or so because we started the show at noon Eastern time. So just so you know, Greg Adams recently had surgery, and we're hoping that his medication doesn't continue to make him hallucinate. Oh, Greg, I'm so sorry for laughing. Poor little thing. He cannot drive for many days. He cannot play his trumpet. So, you know, Andrea's got her hands full around the house. Please say a prayer for her, too. This is going back to 1995, Burma Road from Hidden Agenda.
Wanna be free, gotta be free, wanna be free, gotta be free. Wanna be free, gotta be free, wanna be free, gotta be free. Knew she can make it right, working late every night. Got to make money to put food on the table. And daddy had to do the same. He knew he had to do his part, so none of his children would get caught up in the game. So I'd be young and free. Daddy made a way for me. He paved the road so my burden is lighter. And mama did just the same, dropping love just like rain. She says, guard your heart, for from it come here to the line. Free, free, free. Got to do well in school, obey that golden rule. Treat another man like you want to be treated. Share with your brother, man. If you needed giving him a hand, for in the end you might just need him. So I'd be young and free. Daddy made a way for me. He paved the road so my burden is lighter. And mama did just the same, dropping love just like rain. She said, guard your heart, far from it, come the issues of life. Oh, free, free, free. Wanna be free, wanna be free. Wanna be free, gotta be free, wanna be free, gotta be free. Though they both left this earth, I wanna thank them for my birth and all of the gifts they left for a lifetime. It truly was a sacrifice. They didn't even think twice. Seventh of eight, and Gregory will be his name. So I'd be young and free. Daddy made a way for me. He paved the road so my burden is light up. Mama did just the same, dropping love just like rain. She said, guard your heart, for from it come the issues of life. Oh, free, 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 free. Wanna be free, gotta be free, wanna be free, gotta be free. Wanna be free, gotta be free, wanna be free, gotta be free. Wanna be free, gotta be free, wanna be free, gotta be free. Wanna be free, gotta be free, wanna be free, gotta be free.
Woo! Mercy sakes alive. I always, when I hear Gregory Porter do a song like that, and there are very few that will grab you like that, called Free, you just have nothing else that is in your way. Everything that gets your focus is right there in that song. He is just amazing. I saw earlier today, because I really wanted to get a little vibe on him, maybe a quote, found a jackpot. He had said that when Liquid Spirit was released last year, he was asked why the title, and he said, in his beautiful little teddy bear way, a teddy bear meets Buddha. He said it was the releasing of energy, culture, and soul. Whew, that's something else. That's a Gino Vannelli quote or something. You know what I mean? Whoa, that was very, very deep. And Gregory Porter, if you are not aware of his work, he will take you on that journey where all of what he said comes true, because the emotion that he is able to convey, he really does allow himself to be vulnerable. This particular song is so full of energy and so full of all of the influences, church and blues and jazz and soul, but he can turn around and do a song that will bring you to your knees because you've never heard anyone in that kind of pain. Oh, so amazing. He's going to be on BBC Radio 2 coming up on Sunday, live in Hyde Park. Ooh, that'll be something special. And I see that he's going to be coming to Wilmington, Delaware, D.C., Virginia, and Maryland. So if you go to gregoryporter.com, you'll find out all you need to know. We heard The Gray Zone from 2008's Unleashed CD. What a CD this is. Bass Beast, David Dyson. Walter Beasley gave Dyson full rein to do his thing on Sunday night when I saw Walter and Lynn Fidmont at Ram's Head. David is with Pieces of a Dream as well, but he and Walter have this really special bond. And when Walter, the professor, says, take it, David does. Woo! It was just crazy. And then I find out from Joy Hall yesterday, who did me the sizable favor on Tuesday, that David is going to be with his own band at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, where Joy works, sometime in November. They have a Thursday concert series. This Thursday, it will be Butch and Rhonda Coleman. On October 16th, my birthday, at the Reggie, it will be Tim Green. And then in November, it will be David Dyson. So you can imagine the confunction that will happen that night. We heard, too, from Greg Adams' Burma Road from Hidden Agenda 1995. Again, if you would, I know that Greg usually is so busy with East Bay Soul scenarios, where to play next time, conferring with Andrea, getting new music together, helping somebody else out. But he just had surgery, so he's not going to be able to drive for a while or play his horn. Can you imagine that? Greg Adams not being able to play trumpet. So I'm going to be thinking and checking in with him. And if you are a friend of his on Facebook, do the same, or on Twitter. Let's dive into some more music while we have the time, and we do. Let's turn our attention to a little Flavor Flav from around the world. You know how Annette Cohen likes to do her thing. She likes to pull from Latin sources. She likes to pull from Brazil. She likes to get into American blues or soul, making it all so supremely jazz. This is from Claroscuro from 2 years ago, Zero, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
second Shawn Michael Ray song in the mix today on Hybrid Jazz, because Shawn has made it clear that the greatest person, artist that he knows is Gino Vannelli. And actually, Shawn may know this. I think that I told him in the past 48 hours or so. But in the communication that I had back and forth with Ross Vannelli, who wrote that song, Love and Emotion, I said to Ross that Shawn has a version of the tune on his Overdue CD, and the vocals are by Tony Momrell, who is one of Incognito's group members. So that's why it was so special. Eric Essex on guitar there. Woo, all the friends of Shawn Michael Ray gathering for this beautiful convergence of artistry. Oh, my, so nice. And listen, while I'm talking about Shawn Michaels Overdue, I think that he would like me to say something about Gino, because I promised you the story early on in Gino's career. This is a guy who came from Montreal, lived on and off in New York. Then he and brother Joe decided to move to Los Angeles. So they were down to it as far as money was concerned. And Gino knew that Herb Alpert used to come into the A&M studios at a certain time where there was a security guard. Gino ran past the security guard and said, "Mr. Alpert, could I please talk to you?" Security guard running after him. Herb, because he's always had a sixth sense about talent, he said, "Go ahead." Gino told him he had some music for him. Could he please listen? Well, Herb invited him to come to A&M Records that afternoon, and he was signed that day. So, needless to say, he recorded six albums between 74 and 78, Brother to Brother, one of them. Love and Emotion was on Brother to Brother, and his career truly, truly took off. Was with Stevie Wonder, the second Caucasian, by the way, to be on Soul Train. Just so you know, just if you're keeping up with this. Thought it was a cool fact. So, Shawn Michael Ray, we heard too, from Earl Klugh. And I had something to tell you about Earl Klugh, and I'll reach for it. Little George Duke song right there. Earl Klugh, One Night Alone With You, of course, from the Soda Fountain Shuffle back in 1984. Earl's getting ready. Actually, he's on the Dave Cause cruise right now, and he's getting ready for Kiowa Island and the big November gig that he usually does in that little island in South Carolina. This time, the person who fronts, the act who is the big deal this time, is Natalie Cole. And if you need more information, go to earlklugh.com. Yeah, very proud of Earl for that. Yes. We heard, too, from Anat Cohen, from her Clara Scuro CD from 2 years ago. Just amazing news about Anat. She is going to be on the Signature Jazz Cruise on Seabourn, coming up on the 30th through October the 10th. And with her will be, among others, John Clayton, Randy Brecker, Wycliffe Gordon, and Diana Krall. Can you imagine that? Mm. Whew, sailing to Italy. Been a lot on my mind the past couple of days. France, Saint-Tropez, Mallorca, Monaco, Barcelona. Woo, just to have a little bit of extra money to do that. Wouldn't that be something? Well, we're dreaming. And someday, maybe we'll be in the position to win the lottery so we can take all our friends. The ultimate face-to-face book get together. We've got a few more songs that we can do. We are going to do them. Had to play this to bring attention to Al Jarreau once again because of his magnificent tribute to George Duke, my old friend, remembering George Duke. This is produced by Boney James, and he's playing sax on a piece that George has done a couple of times. But You Bring Me Joy is on this particular project, too. So I know your ears. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is doubt, let us sow faith. Where there is despair, let us sow hope. Where there is sadness, let us sow joy. And where there is darkness, let us sow light. Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled, but yet to console others. Grant that we may not so much seek to be understood, but yet to understand others. Grant that we may not so much seek to be loved, but yet to love others, because it's in giving that we receive. It's in dying to ourselves that we are born again. Thank you.
Amazing.
Woo!
Oh, can you imagine? Live in L.A., recorded late last year, actually November, and released this past May, Gino Vannelli, Brother to Brother, 8.5 minutes and a little bit more. right there. Oh, so nice. Gino has so much work for you to consider. You know what would be really healing today if you could get a hold of it, or this weekend? And I'm so humbled that he asked for my opinion on this. If you can get a copy via Amazon or wherever, Canto, C-A-N-T-O. Gino sings in Italian and in French and Spanish on this. He has a song that he wrote for his father that was so intriguing to Pope John Paul that the Pope invited Gino to come to the Vatican to sing the song. So consider that this is a very different kind of pop material that you've been used to hearing from Gino Benelli, who has certainly sounded to some of our ears like a jazz artist through the years, certainly with rock over and undertones, but he's always tried to keep things as fresh as possible. Even when he does compilations, he tries to refresh the old songs so that they have a new twist, and he always likes to enhance his artists that are around him too. So I can't, again, say thank you enough to Gino for being here today. It was really a thrill. And the show will be available via archive when this live show ends in the next 5 minutes or so, so keep that in mind. We also heard Kendrick Scott Oracle, just beautiful. Pendulum, the name of the song, by the indie electronic band Broadcast. Yes. So you have Kendrick doing this spoken word from Conviction that is just so mind-blowing because it's part Nirvana, part jazz. this is a drummer, a young drummer, who is revered by Terrence Blanchard, who has him in his group. Kendrick does his own thing. He believes absolutely in being honest in the moment and surrendering to the music, and you can tell, can't you? Had to play that because of today's show, and then right after George Duke, You Bring Me Joy, that particular track from My Old Friend by Al Jarreau, produced by Boney James. Woo! Got to do this. I have to do this because this man, Gregory Thompson, and this organization is sponsoring the next several hybrid jazz shows. The Baltimore Jazz Education Project will hold its annual fundraiser concert 7 o'clock Saturday, October the 4th, at the Concert Hall and the Center for the Arts at Towson University. Students, Claire Daly on Barry Sachs, and the Jazz Explosion, awesome, will be the featured performers. For more information, go to www.jazzbjep.com or call Greg at 443-854-5876. And, of course, we'll be talking more about that. We'll be having Claire Daly and Greg Tompkins on the show in the next several weeks. Now, look, hold on to your hats. And I am not kidding you as far as this goes. There will be variations on times and guests. Next week, for example, wait till I look at this calendar. There will be someone who I'm thrilled to introduce you to, Patrick Bradley, who's on the Dave Koz cruise right now. Patrick is one of the executives of Whole Foods. He's also a keyboardist of rare proportion. He'll be here on Tuesday. On Wednesday, it will be Gil Paris and Chelsea Green, who has a brand new CD. Very excited about that. In the weeks following, it will be UNAM. It will also be, let's see, yes, Greg and Claire. And then it will be Dennis Angel and Jumaine. If you have not heard about this man on trumpet, oh, get ready. And then October is a different story entirely. We are booked until mid-October. That's how crazy this is. And the thing is that next Wednesday, the 17th, we're going to do a show. Gil Paris and Chelsea Green. We won't do a show on Thursday then, okay? I know it's a lot to take in. Phew. We wanted to let you know, though. And tonight, because Griselda is here and Joanna Johnson, yay! GHP Radio is on the air. And they're going to have Rod Tate. Is that correct, Griselda? Rod Tate will be in the house on GHP Radio. So try to check it out. We're all trying to support one another with our worthy endeavors. You know that we work hard for the money. What money, Trish? Yeah, you know what I mean, though. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. We started earlier today, an hour early, to make room for our special guest, Gino Vannelli, and Paolo Rusticelli did not come during the next hour, and that's okay. We'll work it out. If we've worked out this week, my darling, we can work out anything. Thanks again to Griselda, Yolanda, Beach, Joanna, Matt, Pete Gitlin was here, Michelle Fambro, I believe Kimberly was in the chat room, Christian DeMasonis, folks floating back and forth, and thank you to our wonderful friends at the Baltimore Jazz Education Project. I'm really happy to be associated with them. We'll see you soon. We'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Be safe on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.